as we think about how the church grows, how you and I grow as people, we recognize, I think we all recognize, that leadership is a key to that. That whether you're well-led or not has a lot to do with your own life outcomes, right? Whether you had a good leader in your family or a good leader in your church or a good leader in your business or good leaders in your country, all of that has something to do with how your life goes. So whether you would consider yourself a leader today or not, as we bring up the topic of biblical leadership, we can tune in a little bit and say, I want to at least know how this should look. Now, what I'd like to challenge you with today is that in one aspect, I believe all of us are called to be leaders. Whether we have a title or a position or there's any fanfare or not, all of us have the opportunity to be a bright light for Christ, to lead other people toward him. So I want to pause right now. I'm going to pray because what we're about to embark on, I think, is a really, really important discussion. It might have a lot to do with your life, your future, depending on how this goes. So we need to pray for God's help and for open hearts, open ears. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful that you came and led the way. You didn't just tell us what to do, you showed us what to do. You walked in this world as one of us so that we could follow in your footsteps. Lord, we want to do that when it comes to the inner needs of our heart, our character, our decision-making, our motivations. We also want to do that when it comes to our behavior and how we interface with other people, how our relationships work. And Lord, when we're called to step up and lead something, we want to lead it the way you would lead it. Lord, because we are your representatives here in this world, we are your disciples. So we pray for your help as we embark on looking at this topic today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Jesus obviously is the preeminent leader of the whole universe, right? He's the king, he's the creator. You can look at Jesus and any leadership quality that you might pull out and say, well, you know, leaders have to have good integrity or good character, good charisma. But Jesus had all those things. He is the example of all those things. So the more we follow Jesus, the more we should at least understand what good leadership looks like. So to kick things off, I wanted to read to you from a book that right now our staff is working through just to improve our own leadership as a team. But this book first came into my life when I was 20 years old. This is The 21 Indispensable Qualities of a Leader by John Maxwell. I don't know if anybody else out there is a Maxwell fan, but I have been since I was about 20. Here's the scenario I was in when I first read this book. I had been hired on as an assistant pastor at a church, and the lead pastor of the church had just turned 30. I was 20. The other guy was maybe 25. And there we were sitting in staff meeting trying to figure out what to do. For all of you who are under 30, you're like, oh, that sounds great. All of you who are over 30 are like, how did that even work, right? And I think back, and I think about especially like the older seasoned saints that were at our church, and I think, why did they stay at our church? What in the world? They were patient with us, thankfully, and about half of our staff meeting was us talking about what to do. And I kind of wish I'd recorded that because I'm sure that'd be worth some laughs now. But having these three guys that had no idea really what they were doing try to muddle through. But the other half of our staff meeting, there was quite a bit of wisdom because we had a cassette tape set of John Maxwell teaching this book. We would plug it in and then we would fill in blanks and like little blanks they'd provided for us. And we would try to learn about leadership that way. And so a lot of our staff meetings were talking about these principles, thinking about what should leadership look like. And I'm really grateful for some of that early leadership training because it really helps to have a framework in your mind of what does a leader even do? What does it even mean to lead something? So I wanted to read you this introduction and just see if it touches anything in your heart. And I realize some of you in this room are already leaders. Maybe you lead your business, your organization. Some of you are leaders here at the church in various ways. Others of you might say, I have no interest in leading anything at all. Whatever part of that spectrum you're on, just listen in with an open heart. Here we go. He says, what makes people want to follow a leader? Why do people reluctantly comply with one leader while passionately following another to the ends of the earth? What separates leadership theorists from successful leaders who lead effectively in the real world? The answer lies in the character qualities of the individual person. It's not just their ideas. It's not just the resources they have available. It's them, right? They have to lead through their character. He says, my friend, do you know whether you have what it takes to become a great leader, the kind who attracts people and makes things happen? I mean, if you took the time to really look at yourself deep down, would you find the qualities needed to live out your boldest dreams? The ones so big you've never shared them with anybody? That's a question each of us must have the courage to honestly ask and answer if we want to achieve our real potential. Now, you can find all sorts of great leadership wisdom, probably at just about any bookstore, right? But what I've discovered is that the best leadership wisdom is right there in the life of Christ himself as he shows us the way to lead. And he shows us that by doing some surprising things. In fact, every stage of how Jesus even came to this world in humble circumstances, how he lived his life, who he hung out with, none of that would seem to match what you would logically do if you were trying to maximize influence. Jesus was hanging around in kind of a forgotten province with, you know, just average people who had no following, certainly no platform. And yet Jesus changed the whole world and influenced the whole world. So you say, well, whatever it was that Jesus did, I want to follow him into that. I want to be influential the way Jesus was. So if you want to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 20, that's where we'll be in just a minute. Let me give you a couple navigational buoys here for our discussion. Today we're going to talk about sort of who leads. How does leadership happen? How do you and I influence people? And next week we'll talk about how it actually functionally works. How does it work in our church? How does it work out in the world? How do we affect leadership change when we're out there trying to do the best we can with what we have? So here's the big principle to not forget. Leadership is influence. Leadership is you influencing another person. And in that respect, I would say everyone leads someone. Everybody leads somebody. And you could start to think about, well, if I'm influencing people around me, what is my influence leading them toward? That would be a good leadership talk to have with yourself. So just thought project for a moment, especially for any of you who would say, man, I'm kind of checking out here on this because I'm not a leader. I don't plan to be a leader. I just want to ask you, who do you currently influence? So just think about it. You've got kids? Do you have grandkids? Are there neighbor kids? Are there coworkers? Are there fellow students? Are there siblings? Are there people here at church? People in your life group? People on your team? The more you think about it, you might have to admit, kind of hope you're willing to admit, that there are people who you do influence. You may not have any title of authority. You may not have any claim to tell them what to do. You're not their boss, but what you say and how you live makes a difference for those people. It's one of the reasons that Paul told Timothy, watch your life and your doctrine closely as you lead people, because it's not just the things you say and teach when you're kind of officially the teacher. It's actually the way you live is an influence as well. So as you consider that, you would say, well, I don't know if I'm ever called to wear a title of leadership, but I can admit that part of my role as a Christian disciple is to be an influence on others, to be a light to other people. And so in that respect, I do want to do that well. I want to lead others well as far as it depends on me. And that's what we want to learn a little bit about how to do that. The other part of the question would be, well, what about when there's sort of something official about leadership, where you would say, I'd like to someday run that organization, or I'd like to be the boss, or I'd like to cast my vision to a team and have them execute it. Like those kinds of functions of official leadership. We'll talk a little bit about that, but mostly today what I want to zero in on is the fact that God has called you to be an intentional influence on people around you, and if you can get that right, you can have an outsized impact on the world, perhaps a more important impact than some of the people that have titles of leadership but really don't influence through their lives. And we're going to start with a great misunderstanding here in Matthew 20. A little bit of an embarrassment too, I would have to say, for poor James and John. They did not play their cards well in this situation. You think that the 12 disciples were all younger guys. In fact, some Bible scholars would say that the disciples other than Peter were still likely like late teenagers. So you think their level of maturity while they're walking with Jesus is, I mean, they're still discovering how to live, how to make decisions. And so as you might imagine could erupt in a youth group where everybody's like getting to see miracles and all these amazing things are happening is a little bit of undercurrent of a pecking order. which of us is the most important? Who's the heir apparent? Who's going to be in charge of this thing? And shouldn't people have to listen to us because of how important we are? You could imagine people starting to kind of misunderstand the kingdom of Jesus and think that way, right? Think as far as some sort of hierarchy or positional leadership or wanting to wear a title and have it be on their name badge that, wow, they are one of the original followers of Jesus. They are one of the key leaders in the kingdom. So John and James, I guess, you surmise a little bit from the text here, either talked their mom into this or their mom talked them into this. But either way, it's not a pretty picture because here they are. All their buddies are over here and mom walks in the room and it says the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. "What is your request?" he asked. She replied, "In your kingdom, please let my two sons sit at places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left." Now, dear old mom here, we don't know what her heart in this was, but she really misunderstood the type of kingdom Jesus was building. In some historical kingdoms, you say worldly kingdoms, it is kind of about title, nobility, prestige. And so you would think it doesn't even matter if the person is all that great at anything, but if they have the title, they're some sort of duke or lord, or they're one of the nobles, like they get some sort of honor just because of who they are, and they get to sit there at the, you know, the pinnacle of whatever organization or kingdom it is and just feel really good about themselves because of how much they've attained. Mom of James and John is kind of saying, hey, you know, I'm looking out here at all these fine young men who are the disciples, good for them, but I think my boys are the best ones of those 12. And apparently, I mean, this is where I'm not sure if this is embarrassing or if this is part of their plan, but James and John are standing there, either nodding along or going, oh no, mom, please don't do this to us. But either way, it happened. And Jesus has to correct, he has to answer the question, but very much correct their assumptions about what the kingdom he's building is all about. Okay, so let's keep reading. Jesus answered by saying to them, "You don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I am about to drink?" "Oh, yes," they replied, "we are." Having no idea what that meant, right? Jesus told them, "You will indeed drink from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen." When the other 10 disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. But Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be the first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus came and demonstrated a different type of leadership, a different type of kingdom hierarchy than anybody expected. So while it would have been all correct for people to be bowing down in front of Jesus and throwing treasure at him or whatever right there as he walked the earth, he wasn't asking for that. He instead was walking in this world as a servant to all people to give his life away. And he said, if you want to be a leader next to me, that's the kind of leadership I'm looking for. If you want to be great, you have to serve. If you want to be first, you have to go last. So this is all upside down here for these disciples trying to figure out how in the world does that look. And as they traveled with Jesus, they discovered what that looks like. Thinking of others before yourself, looking at the eyes of other people, caring about their outcomes, not just your own. Leadership in the kingdom is never about you or your agenda or your glory. It's always about glorifying God and serving other people. If you want to become a leader, and this is the simplest concept here, if you wanted to say, well, what do I need to remember about all this? Just remember this sentence. If you want to become a leader, start serving. That's the job. There's not a nobility to leadership. There's not some sort of prestige or respect that everybody's due. Well, you can offer thanks and gratitude to people who serve in leadership, but the reason they're there is not because they're great. The reason they're there is because they're willing to serve others. And if you'd like to lead, that's what you have to do. So you say, I'd like to start. Where do I begin? How do I sign up to be a leader? And I would say it's actually even easier than that. You don't have to sign up for a position of leadership. You just start serving whether or not you have a position. And as you serve, God will give you opportunities. That's why the other principle in Luke 16, the principle that sometimes we relate to finance, is also true with the gifts God gives you and the opportunities God gives you. If you're faithful with little, you kind of unlock much. God will give you. He'll entrust you with much. So if you want to begin leading, if you're interested in that, start serving. If you want to increase your influence over people, start serving people. So we're going to break this down a little bit. And like I said, this is part one of two. But I just wanted to walk you through a few really practical principles that I hope will do two things. One is, if you're an experienced leader, if you're currently leading something or you know you could, like I just hope this will encourage you with the fundamentals. If you're not in a leadership role yet in your life, at least not an official one, I hope for you that you'll first of all see that you already do have more influence, so you might be leading more than you think, but also to start the journey. Say, Lord, if you would call me as your disciple to lead others, I'm at least willing to listen to you, willing to see what happens. So let's break it down. First of all, 1 Timothy says, if someone aspires to be a church leader, he desires an honorable position. That is, it's a great heart if you wish for that, but recognize that's not going to be easy. It's likely not going to be all that fun. It would actually be far easier not to be a leader. So you should only pursue church leadership if you feel called to do it. When in my first church that I served in, I remember, we had that really young staff team, and there was a guy who became a Christian, super on fire for Christ. I mean, just the kind of person that you're just like, wow, you're getting energy off of him all the time because he's so thrilled to have been saved out of his old life and into a new kind of life with Christ. And he was meeting with all of us, and he said, I just really want to be on the team. I want to be an elder. And it's interesting to ask some, why do you want that? I think he thought that somehow board meetings are a lot more fun than they actually are. And I think he thought that somehow when you become an elder, you get to tell people what to do. It's not really that way at all. It's actually, in many ways, the complete opposite of that feeling, right? So he didn't quite understand, maybe a little bit like James and John's mom, like not quite putting two and two together, but we did appreciate his enthusiasm. What he was really wanting to do was feel like he could make significant contribution to the work of the church. He really wanted to dive in. And so the answer for that guy is the same answer for me, same answer for you, is if you want to influence people, where do you start? Do you start by saying, great, give me a title and I'll go do it? Or do you start by saying, here I am, I'm ready to serve? So you serve, the titles take care of themselves. And really, after you serve for a while, you might realize, actually, title is just kind of a weight you have to carry. It's easier not to have a title. Just serve, influence people. Don't worry about it. Let God elevate you. Don't worry about the pecking order of things, as in human systems we would be so accustomed to doing. Okay, so what position or title do you need in order to begin serving people? It's a great question to contemplate. If you're kind of waiting, if you're like, yeah, someday, maybe I'll really jump in and do something, we just say, well, what exactly are you waiting for about someday that you couldn't just go ahead and begin today? There are so many simple ways to start the process. In fact, when you think about different leadership roles that would be around the church, and this would be true in your business as well, whatever career pathway you're in, the leadership roles just describe a function. You don't have to have the role in order to do the function. So just think with me for a second. Pastor. We have a few pastors here at our church that have that title. But what is the function, like biblically, what does a pastor do? What does the word pastor mean? Anybody remember? Shepherd, right? Pastor. So you think, what does a shepherd do? Care for people, guide people. Could you care for people and guide people without a title? Pretty sure you could. You might already be practicing that in your own home, right? You might already be sort of pastoring your family. Say, well, the more people you're willing to serve in that way, the more leadership that you could have there, the more opportunity you have to influence others, that's great. You don't have to wait for a title in order to do the function. And it's actually true with all these others. I've worked for a number of nonprofits over the years, kind of parallel to also being a pastor. And I remember I was in a conversation with a board member of one of these nonprofits, and it was a discussion about roles and who sits where in the chart of things. And he said something that really, I don't know, made an impact on me. He said, you know, you don't have to be an executive to execute. Just go do it. Go do something. Like, why wait to get to the top of a chart when if God calls you to do something, you could do it. Same thing with the word director. Think, what does a director do? You direct ministry. So could you not go ahead and do it? You don't have to have a title that makes that somehow official before you can. In fact, probably the way that those titles come to people would be if somebody's seeing that you're already doing it, they go, we might as well call it what it is. That person is a director. That's great. So team leaders, managers, executives, whatever the leadership title is, don't fixate on the title. That's the way the world looks at it. Instead, think about how you could serve. How could you add the best value to other people? Where could you meet a need that no one else is willing to meet? How could you take who God made you to be, your gifts and abilities, and put those to good use? And if you're willing to do that, the opportunities to lead will come. In fact, one of the things I strongly believe is that leadership opportunities are endless. And that's where one of the things that always surprises me, having worked in church staff teams for a long time and coordinated a lot of volunteer teams over the years, is when people are bummed out that they didn't get picked to be a volunteer leader. I was thinking, that is just check swing on that. You're upset that someone else is willing to do the work for free instead of you. Like, I'm sort of, why are you upset? But what I think is happening there is they're thinking of things in limited terms, where they're thinking, wow, if Joe is doing that, that means I can't do that. So, no, that's not the case at all. There are 8 billion people on earth who need to be reached with the gospel. If Joe is doing something here at BCBC, do you think there's other opportunity for you to do something similar to that? Absolutely. There are endless opportunities inside the church and outside the church to keep growing the kingdom. So there's never a moment when you're like, oh man, the position I always dreamed of is filled. There's no way forward. That might be that way in some corporate America situation, but here in the church, it's endlessly expansive. It's only limited by our lack of creativity. We say we always want to be opening up the next opportunity for more people to lead, thus more influence and more light to shine. So when you start seeing that, you say, wow, I could jump in and serve anywhere. And if a position is needed, if some sort of system is needed, we can grow up to that. That's fine. There doesn't have to feel like there's a limitation. This really helps me put things in perspective when I think about myself as a follower of Jesus, and then also put together the idea of leadership development in the midst of that. The qualities of strong leaders are directly related to the qualities of faithful disciples of Jesus. So I'll show you some of those, but before we get there, just think about it logically. Why would that be the case? What does a disciple do toward their rabbi or mentor or leader? Like, what is the functional work of a disciple? If you volunteer to be a disciple of somebody, what do you have to do from there? You follow them, right? You imitate them. You do the things they do. You learn all you can, and you imitate, you mimic them. Well, Jesus here is the king of everything. He is the leader. He's the ultimate leader. So it would make sense that if you're following Jesus closely, that your ability to lead and influence others is going to be measurably advanced, right? And the closer you follow Jesus, the better a leader you could be. Think of this. The qualities of a leader are qualities that definitely Jesus demonstrates for us. They're not that complicated to begin with. There might be all sorts of leadership training to do to fit a particular role, but when it comes to the heart of you getting to influence other people, wow, the sky's the limit here. Okay, here's what you have to start with. There's a few qualities. Number one, always humble. See, this is where Jesus said, the greatest among you is the one who serves. It's not the person who's trying to get ahead, the person who's trying to advance themselves. It's the opposite of that. It's the person who, they could walk away. They don't have to have the title in order to kind of validate who they are. No, they're willing to serve as needed, and they're willing to serve with Jesus as their aim. So the scripture says, don't be selfish, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Jesus lived that. He demonstrated that attitude and how he came to this world. You and I get to follow him in that same way. We get to have that same humble attitude that Christ did as we follow him. And so for a leader, what that means is that you're not showing up to the task of leadership going, I know all the answers. No, you're showing up with humility that's ready, that's in a position to actually serve others, build teams, care for other people. It's not about you at all. Okay, second quality we look for is somebody who's always learning. In Proverbs, it says the wise listen and add to their learning. You normally aren't going to find somebody to run something that already knows all they need to know. Because if they claim that, I'd say, well, they're probably not very wise. Because a wise person would always be aware of how much they don't know, not just trumpeting what they do know. And so if you wish for leadership, if you're saying, I'd love to grow my influence, start learning more, start listening more. Lean toward all the possible ways that you could grow up in your faith. That's keep following as a close disciple. Keep learning. Keep being trained. Okay, third one is being always diligent. Paul wrote to Timothy and his leadership and his teaching. He said, work hard so that you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Think of yourself like a workman. Think of yourself one who's laboring for the benefit of others. This isn't about trying to achieve a status of nobility and then sitting back and enjoying being in charge. That's not how it would work. It's more opportunity to serve when you become a leader. And then the last one is to be always following. Which if you think of it, if you want to be a good leader, be a good follower. And that, it's so counterintuitive. And yet, it makes so much sense when you think of what Paul wrote. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Paul wasn't afraid to say, hey, I'm the leader here, follow me. But he wasn't saying, follow me because I'm, like, I know what I'm doing. He said, follow me because I'm following Christ. And that's the heart you and I can have. As disciples and disciple makers, we can keep seeking to train the next person to keep following Jesus, and we live it ourselves. So the more that you're willing to closely follow in the footsteps of Jesus, the stronger a leader you can become. And that's where I would say, if leadership equals influence, and my discipleship is making me more and more like Jesus, the way that I can be a light to the world is to keep walking forward, to be willing to be intentional, influence other people with what I'm learning about Christ. Okay, so a couple, and hopefully encouraging principles for you to think about, is when you say, well, if I was leading others, whether it's just in my own household or my friends, or if I'm officially the leader of some sort of team or life group or church or organization, what is success? Success as a Christian leader is not when you feel empowered, it's when you empower others. So think about this. If somebody hands you the keys to something and says, okay, you're in charge, is that the conclusion of your leadership or is that just the beginning of something? That's just the beginning. That's not success. That's just, okay, you made it to the starting line. Congratulations. The way that you know if you're actually winning, the success metric for kingdom leadership is that other people are being empowered because of what you did. That's exactly what Jesus taught us, right? So here the 12 disciples are. They're arguing like who's going to be the greatest and which of us is the best and who's going to sit at Jesus' right hand. What they didn't realize is that it wasn't about 12 people. Jesus had in mind to build a network of disciples that would be millions of people throughout centuries of time, all across the world. It wasn't about those 12 people. They just had the privilege to be the first on deck as disciples. But wow, all of us now are a part of that same story. And so we say that the way that we'll measure our success is not whether we held a title for a while or whether we, you know, retired someday and everybody patted us on the back for a job well done. The way that you know if you're successful is, were you able to empower other people so that now their mission is coming true, not just your mission is coming true? And that's so exciting when you can seek that. It's the ultimate service, if you think about it, because you're literally setting aside your own agenda for the benefit of other people. That's what church leadership involves. That's what the mission of a leader is. Okay, so there's three steps to begin. I want to offer these to you by way of challenge and encouragement that this would be for any level of leadership. So as I say all these things, I'm banking on a couple thoughts. Okay, one is what I said at the beginning. All of us are leading someone. All of us influence someone. But here's another thought I have, is that in this room, there are future leaders for our church who don't know that that's their trajectory yet. So there are people right now that are, you're one of them. You're listening, you're thinking, and you have no idea what God has in store for you next. And it could be that you're called to lead a team. It could be that you're called to be a pastor. It could be that you're called to be an elder. It could be that you're called to go off and be on mission somewhere else. Who knows? God could lead you in 1,000 different directions. If you're willing to do these three things, you will be ready for whatever that assignment is. Are you ready? So first one, super obvious. Follow Jesus faithfully. Submit to Christ and to the godly leaders you currently have around you. The word submit means to come under the mission of someone else. So first and foremost, you'd say, my reason for wanting to influence other people is not to influence them to like me or to do what I say. I want to influence people toward Christ. So Lord, I'll come under your mission and serve with that as the heartbeat. And then the godly leaders around you would be, are there opportunities around you right now where you could practice leadership by practicing following the people who are good leaders? Now, some of these things are so simple, it's not complex. That kind of gets us to our second point, serve others humbly. Start with small things, putting others first. So if somebody said, hey, what's really the path to becoming some sort of key leader here at BCBC? Say, well, it depends on where you're starting from, but you know, it could start with any of the QR codes we put up there when we say we need a volunteer for something. It could start with showing up at your life group and interacting. It could start with walking over to the kids' wing and saying, like, is there some way I could help one of the teachers over here? Like, those kinds of things are where servanthood begins, and that's where leadership begins. So you just say, Lord, I'm open. I'm willing to serve where needed. It doesn't have to be my way, my agenda. It doesn't have to be my favorite things to do in life. I'm just here to serve. If you have that attitude, God will start opening doors in front of you that you'll never believe. And that's why I would say that there are people here right now who are going to be called to amazing positions of leadership, and you'll have amazing influence on the world around you. It starts with following Jesus and then starting with these small acts of service and letting God be the one that directs you forward from there. And then here's the last piece, to lead yourself first. So as a disciple of Jesus, we want to mirror his life. We want to walk the way he walked. But that's not just about how he treated people or how he preached. That's also how he lived. That's his inner life, his prayer, his character. So I would venture to guess, with the people that are currently leading organizations, you're leading your own business, you're a leader in the church somehow, I'm pretty sure you would join me in saying that it's easier to lead the organization than it is to lead your own self. Okay? Most people come to that conclusion. Because inside your own heart, where you're battling with your desires and your pride and your lust and your greed, that's way harder than figuring out how to run a team meeting or how to empower a volunteer. And so if you can learn how to lead yourself first, you will be teed up and ready for whatever challenge God puts ahead of you. I think about leading yourself first in the, you know, in daily discipline, in suppressing your temper, and living with grace, and having humility about all things, and those simple dynamics of what it means to have Christian character. If you can seek God's help to live faithfully in those areas, that will give you even more of a head start toward leadership and influence. All right, so I want to pray for you as we always do here at the conclusion of our services, to pray that we could take this truth and bring it into our heart. But specifically, and I don't know who you are, but I'm pretty sure there's some people in here who know that it's time to take a step toward influence on purpose. I just want to pray that you'll have the courage to do it. So Lord Jesus, for that person, for those individuals who need to take a step of faith, I pray that they would have the willingness to go for it. For all of us here, Lord, we recognize we've been called to be a bright light. We've been called to shine and share and do things for your kingdom. And sometimes we hold titles of leadership, and sometimes we serve alongside other people, and sometimes we're out on our own. Lord, whatever the situation is, I pray that you would help us to walk the way you walked, that if we're charged to lead others, that we would serve them selflessly. And if, Lord, we are not yet in a position to lead, that we would be faithful with what we do have in our hands, the simple opportunities to serve. Lord, our world is in such desperate need of good leadership at all levels of community and church and government, and I know that some of my brothers and sisters in the room here could be part of the answer to that. So Lord, would you call each of us in your own special way, Lord, call us to what the next step should be. We're ready to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.